So, namaste, welcome to the satsang. It's been an interesting day. And what's come up over and over again, just before I open it up, is self-worth, worthiness. And it's pretty evident that pretty much everyone who's here feels like they don't deserve to be here for some reason. So maybe we can see, we were talking about this at lunchtime. No, whatever time we had that. Anyway, that it is the same karmic pattern that's playing out in all the bodies. And that it's not, I feel unworthy, I shouldn't be at Bliss Fest, I'm not doing enough or something like that. It's literally a feeling of unworthiness that's showing up in all of the bodies. And that's like a universal pandemic, isn't it? A global pandemic of unworthiness that is nothing personal, ironically. It's never going to be fixable from the level of the mind. You're never going to feel adequate from the level of the mind. So just noticing that, and it shows up here because it's intensified while we're all together. How it manifests is we don't go for what we want ourselves. We don't feel that we deserve it or that we should have it, you know, something that we really want, we don't feel good enough for. And then we try to compensate for feeling inadequate by making other people happy. This has come up again and again and again, trying to fit in, trying to please people and all of that. So what we were talking about this morning was doing what's right for us, doing what's right for you. It may seem like a selfish thing, but actually it is lining up with what's good for you. It's always going to be what's good for everyone, even if it looks the opposite, especially when it looks the opposite. You can never manage to please people when you're coming from a place of inadequacy yourself anyway. It's got to fail to prove to yourself that you're inadequate. Round and round and round we go. So instead of holding on to that personally and taking responsibility personally that we were talking about yesterday, can we just notice that something within us is never going to feel good enough? And can we just let that kind of be? Maybe that's just something that we don't really need to try to fix. We can just notice the self that we really are anyway, that doesn't actually have any of these issues or challenges. We spend so much time and energy trying to be the best version of us. Be the best version of us. And ignoring the version that's already here, that's absolutely, totally okay. So having said that, I'll open it up for questions, sharings, challenges. We said this morning at the silent sitting, I said this morning after the silent sitting, this is your time and you should use it well. You should ask everything you need to ask. You can ask the same question 100 times and I won't get bored or tell you that you should already know it. It's some things we forget, don't we, when we're caught up in stuff going on. Yep.
Thank you. You mentioned something that has been very true for me, and I hadn't seen the unworthiness of being here. In a way, I have seen that I have fear to get freedom, and also like when you approached me yesterday, I think. That you came to me and said something, you know, for the moment it was this fear that, oh my God, I'm gonna be discovered
I'm going to
that,
come and tell you off, or you've done something wrong, or yeah.
something, yeah, I just couldn't, but there was this fear and shame and unworthiness at the same time.
Anyone else had that when I've come to talk to them? Anybody else kind of gone, oh shit? No, yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, lots of nodding.
And so I would like to work on, or how to work on that, so that I can realize that if I'm here is because I do deserve to be here and to be loved and to be free and enjoy myself.
So it's a common thing. When we are coming from a place of separation, if there's two beings, if you see this body walking towards that one, if there's two beings, then there's got to be some comparison immediately going on between those two beings. Egoic sense of self is going to take the two and compare them. That's all it can do. And because one body seems to be more awakened, the other conclusion is the other one is less awakened. And that's where the shame comes and all of that, this real heavy feeling. So maybe shame and guilt and unworthiness is just a symptom of separation itself. The very moment I think there's two of us, I'm going to be comparing. And somebody has to come out of that better, and somehow somebody has to come out of that worse. So it could be, you earn more money than I do, or you have a better job than I do, or I'm more awakened than you are, or I let go of anger faster than you did, or I'm a better driver than that person, or, you know, it's on and on and on. It's endless, isn't it? Comparison. If you look at the ego, that's what it's doing all the time, or the mind. If you, right now, as we're talking, everyone's listening to this conversation, and probably some people are assessing your answers to my, if I ask you something now and you give me an answer, everyone else is trying to figure out if they'd realize that. And if they'd realize that, they feel a little bit inflated. If they didn't realize it, they feel a little deflated because there's this comparison going on all the time. Or if you said, yep, I've seen this thing is true, I've had this experience. Let's say we talk about an experience you had 10 years ago, a spiritual experience or something. And somebody else in the audience here hasn't had that experience, immediately they're going to compare themselves to you and feel like they're not as good as you or something. So this shame is a symptom of separation. Even the comparison the ego does is where it thinks you should be and where it thinks you are now. So it will say, you should have got rid of this and this and this before you came to Blissfest. So it's comparing even yourself, where you were and where you want to be. It's constantly comparing, isn't it? Can you see?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's taking one thing and dividing it into two. And because of that, it lowers the frequency in the body. And sometimes that lower frequency we can call shame or fear or guilt or anger or even frustration is just a slight lowering irritation, right down to despair and apathy. So just recognizing your oneness with that other being. You can't feel shame then. You cannot. Because there's nothing to compare yourself to. Nothing. Nobody else to compare.
Okay.
Right now, as we're talking, you can't be thinking about yourself as a separate being, and you probably don't feel anything negative at all. Hopefully.
Well, but I would like to know how to break that. Of course, when you approached me, the moment that I saw you were going to reach to me is when I got these feelings. Of yeah. course, when you start talking to me, all that disappeared.
Yeah. You could just kind of recognize, oh, there goes the comparison. That's why I feel bad. Okay. Not because Helen's going to say anything negative to me. The moment I start to feel bad, it's because I've gone into separation again.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. I feel, oh, she's going to discover the horrible things I've done in my life, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was the sense that I got.
There's a she and a me immediately then, isn't there? A she and a me. So if you follow what mind says, well, if you were a better person, she wouldn't have anything to criticize or find out about. We try really hard to be a better version of ourselves. But that's endless and you can never get there. You know, you can never get there. So anytime you feel some drop in you, how you feel, it's because you've gone into some division or separation inside. And you can step away from that guy. I don't want anything to do with that. Whatever it is I'm thinking right now cannot be true, because there's got to be two beings for that to be true. Yeah. So the moment you feel anything less than wonderful, you've gone back into separation, and you can just kind of self-inquire again in that moment. Just find that there's only one of us. Or if you can, just turn away from the thoughts. They can't be true, because there's two beings in these thoughts. Okay. If you notice all the thoughts that you suffer from, there's at least two beings or two things. Me and you, me and money, me and my boss, me and time, me and the energy I don't have, me and the sleep I'm not getting, on and on and on, isn't it? It's always two. That's why it feels terrible. Your body's a really good meter at saying, hey, you've gone back into duality again. Stop it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
That's what, you're not really fearing that I'm going to come and tell you something you don't want to hear. That's not really what's going on. What's really going on is you've gone into separation and your body is telling you that. That's what it's really about. Yeah. So if you said to me, oh, I saw you stole that thing from somebody else, you took it without permission, and some feeling of guilt comes up in me, it's easy to say I'm feeling bad because I'm feeling guilty. I've been found out. You found out. But really why I'm feeling bad is because I'm believing in a you and a me. Always that way. It's always, always that way. That helps?
Yes, definitely. I'll be paying more attention to that separation thing rather than stick with, I guess, with the feeling.
Yeah, the feeling is just telling you that you've gone into duality. And if you want to stay right at the root, you can disregard the emotion. I mean, you have to feel the emotion, but not trying to go back into working on yourself as a separate being.
Okay.
Just notice the ego where it's at play. You know, it'll look at everyone in the silent sitting and go, they're more peaceful than me. Or this person's moving around too much. Or the time seems to be going really slow today. And it's constantly comparing how time's slower today than it was yesterday. It's always comparing, isn't it? Two things.
Mm-hmm.
So you just see that in action and just kind of, I don't really want to get involved in that.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a little heartbreaking sometimes from my perspective, because I just want to tell you all how amazing you are and how grateful I am that you're all here with me, helping me, and how totally screwed I'd be without all of you. And you're all walking around going, I don't deserve to be here, you know?
Well, the way I feel is that you have done so much for me. I was feeling that I didn't deserve.
I understand that. And I also need to say, what I've done for you is a reflection of how much the real you loves you. Yeah. Nobody's here by accident. Nobody cheated their way into BlissFest. I'll just pretend to do something and I'll slide in the side. You know? Everyone's here because everyone in the Sangha in general, but especially here, because you know you're aligned with what the truth that's coming here, and you want to share that message as much as I do. That's it, isn't it? So nobody who's, you know, if you're sat in a room with an awakened being and, you know, all these beings that are waking up, does it really make sense that you could be totally unworthy and not getting it? You just kind of bounce off vibrationally, wouldn't you? No matter what your mind says, it's really not true. I'm going to keep on telling you until you get it.
All right.
I'll be relentless. I do appreciate you sharing it, though, because that's the way to get rid of it, isn't it, too? If you just sit there and feel that shame and panic, and then it goes when I start to talk to you at the dinner table or something, it's not really resolved it, because it'll come back up again next time, won't it? The next time we see each other or something. Very brave.
Terrific. Thanks, Helen. Love you.
Love you too. Love you one or something. Yeah. Okay. What's going on here?
Well, if I went, Helen would go.
Oh, actually, now you said that, she has to. Yeah. Just, there's all kinds of funky stuff going on here. You feel upset? Take your time.
It's nothing bad. It's just, why is that? Why is that? That there's a room full of people here. And we've seen it over and over again. We know what we are. Yeah. What is the process then that just keeps messing it up? Why does it happen, Helen? I mean, I'm more and more seeing that all the time.
Why does what happen?
That we all feel the shame, that we all, you know, I felt like this. It's been quite exhausting. Mm-hmm. So I was looking forward to coming. I don't even know why I
spent all this money and time and flown across the world to get here. When I get here, I just feel.
I was so excited, and I walked up and I thought,
and then you've been throwing up, vomiting, a whole lot, yeah.
And it's been exposing, because I think.
So why is that being exposed? What's that about?
Well, that's why I've sat here, because I want to ask you if there's anything.
To tell me. I can't be bothered answering. No, I'm joking.
No, because I think you see more.
Yeah, but what's your take on it? Why is that happening? Why is it when you sit in a room like this, or Melissa was feeling it the other night, you know, even online, it's the same thing, isn't it? I feel some kind of shame in opening up, something like that. We're exactly the same thing we were talking about.
I don't know. I don't feel that now.
Yeah. Why would that come to the surface, though, when you're sitting in a room like this?
I just presume that it's consciousness or God wanting to appear through all these bodies experiencing shame. And not taking any personal, not taking a personal view of it.
There you go.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. So
what we're doing
you,
this month in the GP is that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
This feeling comes up, and if I grab it personally,
yeah.
Then I'm gonna really struggle with it. And that's why I was trying to point out that pretty much all of us would be feeling shame or unworthiness or something.
Yeah.
Here.
And I
even
get
here.
It,
yeah. And it's just stuff that needs to be felt and gone.
Yeah.
And because the energy's so high, it comes up sometimes quite abruptly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we just let that process happen, it happens and it's done. But if instead we say, why am I feeling this way here, me? I'm sure everybody else isn't, or whatever our mind does with that feeling. I should have stopped feeling this by now. I should have got beyond
it. I'm not doing that. We were talking in the car today, and it was obvious that it was all about shame.
Yeah.
That it was the manifestation of shame through everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that feels fine. And it, just when you just said that, then I wasn't going to come up until you said that. And he's like, I need to put me, I want to know why. It's plainly obvious what you're saying. There's a room full of people here. But yeah, it still is playing. And so will it play? Will that play to everybody until it's played enough?
It'll play is through.
Why does it do it?
It plays through each body and mind until it's consistently not until it's consistently not taken personally.
So for one person that's taking it personally, it'll come and come again.
For that body mind.
For that body mind.
Because it's taken, it's closed off. Energy's trying to move. But if I take it personally, I'm feeling ashamed. Only me here. Then I'm stopping the energy from flowing, aren't I? And I'm stopping all that beautiful help that's there available to all of us because I'm feeling I'm just me here, the separate being.
So why does consciousness need to do this? Why does it, I keep asking myself this, why does it do it? Why does it not just not do it?
Pass. Next question. No.
Is it just not unknowing? Unknown.
It doesn't do it at all.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And it does it also because it wants to understand itself.
Yeah.
And in doing so, it misidentifies itself in thought only. Like we were saying
right
at the table today, the cafe, the thought that I am this body only, I'm a separate being. And then at some point, that's very true for a long time. And then the thought comes, I don't really know what I am. And then the thought comes later, who knows how long, well, I am the self, I'm everywhere. I am awareness, whatever you want to call it. And then later, the last kind of important thought is, I don't really want to define myself as anything. And that's all a thought sequence. Happening between the ears, nothing's happened to the emptiness. So it's true that it doesn't do that and it never did. And it's also true that it does do that in manifestation to try to explore and understand its own nature. It's curious and it creates these human beings where it can have this kind of conversation and compare, that comparison mechanism. And this seeming set of opposites then appear, don't they, and all of that. In doing that, though, it gets stuck for a long time on this idea, trying to think about what it actually is.
And when does it become unstuck? What happens for it to be unstuck?
Is it ever really stuck?
No.
You said that a little quick there.
Yeah.
Tell me why. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Well, it's an appearance of being stuck.
Even in the really manifestation.
There. Yeah.
Is it really stuck?
No.
So the crux of what we're talking about last night was with and what we're talking about with Will. Really, it's not stuck. It's not even identifying.
No.
Identification process is happening to the attention, not to the self, consciousness. And you could say, well, attention is also consciousness, but for the sake of this. Even in manifestation then, when it shows up as a human being, it's never really stuck. It thinks it is for a very long time. And then it thinks it has to get out of that. And we do a lot of work trying to get out.
And nothing's ever happened. It's not changed. It's not moved.
No.
No.
At some point, a thought pops through a brain that says, I was never stuck or bound or unenlightened or fill in the blank. And then the body has more pleasant emotions and more energy.
And there's an enjoyment of the dream.
But that's about all that's happened. Yeah, even that's a bit too much to say.
See, something wants to ask a bit something else now, but I don't know what it is.
I'll help you with that one.
I feel like that's it and to get back into my chair, but I don't want to move.
We'll just sit here and look at each other.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa's got a hand up, so if you want to sit there while I talk to Melissa, you can.
Okay. Yeah. Is that all right?
Are you coming after Melissa or not? She's like, no.
No, I'll go back.
Okay. Thank you. Melissa?
I wasn't going to talk again today, but I...
Yeah, sorry. That's so funny.
Seriously.
Let me just start by saying, wow, what you put in the WhatsApp group this morning, or last night for you.
It's kind of fascinating how it's like, you can't really put it into words and describe the depth of the...
Welcome to my life.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So there was that. And then what I'm noticing today is just, I'm seeing this constant stream of, not a stream, just, it's just all consciousness. Mm-hmm. There's no like empty space and then an object. It just is all.
Yeah.
And I also noticed that there's no thoughts there to label anything. If I need to label, I can label. But it's like that's just kind of fallen away, which I find fascinating because there was always this, the mind just wanted to let go of this label, let it go. And it's just like effortlessly occurring.
When you see deeply that the object you're trying to label is completely empty. Of course, the labels are just kind of going to vanish because they're just all synonyms for awareness then, aren't they? The whole word, every single word in every language that's ever been invented, it is just another word for emptiness.
Yeah. So there's that, and then...
there's that little thing, you know, I just had this seeing the form, formless of one, and yeah, meh. And then I had a cup of tea.
And no, like, there's no boundary between bodies either. Like, before it was like, oh, I can't, I'm seeing this person. Oh, that person is separate. No, that doesn't exist anymore. There's no division. There's no separation.
Wow.
And.
Ooh. Extra bonus prize.
With the whole thing about the food stuff that I'm still sorting out.
Yeah.
Although it's not separate, I'm still, the body still has an effect that it's being affected by food. So it's like, there's a part of my, like the torso, my torso, it's like there's this energy of like pain and I'm just wondering, is that just like an energetic block? I mean, I know it's still, obviously I'm still believing that I can be harmed by food, or the body can be harmed to some.
It's just a little bit of otherness and a little bit of belief in the label food, isn't it still?
Yeah.
And it's okay. It'll go, won't it? It's not a big deal. Yes, you'd rather the body feel comfortable, but just reckon, oh, here's where I'm still feeling the effect of this label that I'm believing in.
Okay.
Because with the word food comes wanted and not wanted, good and bad, and all of that stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's just a four-letter word, food, but there's so much more attached to it than that, isn't there? Really. So it might take a little bit more unraveling than other labels.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not even frustrated about it, but I can't even, like, you know, you could go and say, well, these are the layers. I can't even, the layers just, they're not there. But I'm thinking because it's still, I don't know, I can't even talk. Because it's, I'm still, the bodies, I still feel that constriction or that pain. I'm aware that there's something that's still being believed in, but I don't know what that is. And it's not like there's a seeker trying to find out what that is.
And probably there's nothing you can muster up to try to find out what it is either now. It's just like, I don't know what to do with this thing that comes up.
Yeah.
And that's all right, isn't it? That's just kind of, it will show itself when it shows itself.
Yeah. Can I just ask you one more question, and just kind of a clarification thing? So when you talk about the sense of Helen, or like if I would talk about the sense of Melissa, it's it feels different to me now. It's like I get what you're saying about a sense, but it's not even really a sense.
It's paper thin.
It's paper thin.
It's like a little bit of smoke.
Yes,
a little
exactly.
bit of steam just kind of drifting. You know, it's just,
yeah,
you walk straight through it. It's not a real thing, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Whereas before, it would be, oh, I still know that it would, even though there was no tangibility to it, it felt more tangible than it feels.
So it feels as real as you think it is. It's so powerful that when you think that it's real, this separate sense of self, and that you even to feel that you have to get rid of it, you've given it some reality. So it appears, it feels very, very real, like this real entity living in this body. But it's just like a wispy, it's just like smoke, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is just really looks like it's there, like one of those mirages on the road in a hot day, but it's not really. It looks like something, but it's just nothing substantial at all.
Yeah, and I don't even want to think about it. Like there's nothing to think about. It's like it just diminishes.
It's just kind of cool in the end. It's like, wow, how does the infinite one being actually pull off this sense of being someone? How does it do that? That's like fascinating.
Yeah.
Like how does it imagine itself to be a someone when it's really everywhere? How does it actually do that? Not like, yeah, I have to find out, just that's really interesting. How does it? This is very light.
Yes, but there's also this energy of like just deeply loving that and just wanting to really embrace it and let it, you know, really do whatever it's going to do.
And that's why we're gone full circle there. That's why there's this pain here and the label still being believed in, because it's just asking, okay, are you going to try and do anything with this, or are you just going to love it? Because if you try and do something with it, you've made that separate person real.
Oh, that really resonates, yeah.
You're running up to the mirage in the road going, I've got to fix you. And then it disappears when you get there. It's frustrating. You just look, oh, there, yes, it is again. There it is again. You know, it's just doing its thing.
Wow, that's brilliant. That's amazing that it's just awesome.
It just comes back to love, doesn't it?
Yeah. I know. I love your shirt.
So just you'll just notice a few places where there's an old urge to try to do something. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm groaning from the audience.
Get on with it. He's saying, get on with it.
Stop this. You'll just notice that it'll pop up. There'll be little aches and pains in the body where it's saying, are you going to go back to work here? Or are you going to stay sat with your feet up and your arms behind your head?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that because I know there's the old, the thoughts can't even arise that something needs to be done about this, but yet I'm feeling there's something there. It's just this, it's kind of this weird place, which isn't a place. But yeah.
Awesome.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Sharon says, Melissa, I love your shit. I second that. Did you mean to put shirt?
I'm sorry. I thought Melissa was saying, I love your shit. Like, I love all
okay.
the stuff that's on. And I was like, oh, yeah, I second that. So I must have misunderstood.
Oh, we love that too.
Perfect.
That too.
That's pretty funny.
I just thought I'd better be clear, you know, with these labels. Okay. Okay. Who's next?
My neighbor. Helen.
Let me just